This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Opening half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Visit NILGameChangers.org to start your journey. Pleasure to be with you here in the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 at 15 Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Todd Hummel, good afternoon to you, my friend.
Good afternoon. I wondered why you were so quiet, and then I realized I didn't pull the earphones all the way over my ears. I hope that's not a sign for the rest of my day.
This darn radio thing.
I know. Steve's really quiet today for some reason.
Where is the big mouth? Right. Where is he?
At least I could hear you. I always get nervous when I don't hear you right away.
Okay. All right. And you're out tomorrow.
Yep, heading down to Millersville to see Midwest softball in the quarterfinals of the state playoffs.
There you go. All right. Well done.
Yes, three baseball teams in action as well. Mount Carmel and Danville are a doubleheader at Fredericksburg near Lebanon, and Sealance Grove is at 6:30 at Hershey High School.
Wow. Well, you got a lot going on.
Yeah. Yes, we do.
Hey, that's great. No. That's great. It's a fun time of the year when the cool stuff starts.
I'm one of those. Either if you win a district title, just go win a state title. Make me busy for 2 weeks.
See, I like that attitude. That's great.
It gives me something to do.
Yeah.
And it's fun. How can you argue about that?
Yeah. No, you can't. All right. Sweeney Murdy's going to join us tomorrow. Dick Girardi's at 1:15 on Friday on the Belmont Stakes. That'll make Suit the Greek happy. He's something else.
Suit the Greek. I haven't heard of Jimmy. I haven't thought of Jimmy the Greek in years.
That's right. It's our guy.
NFL Today.
Yeah. Yeah, the NFL Today. You know, Brent, I think, I don't know, it's just my opinion, I think Washington's 5 points better. Like, okay.
Could you imagine those guys in the 80s now seeing it like how it is now? Like, you know, you had to couch actually what you were saying, so you know, it's implied the gambling number, but
I know that's the, you know, now it's like, now during the broadcast, hey, here's a couple of prop bets for you, like, whoa, hold on a second here. Goodness gracious, now they don't even hide it.
I mean, how many sly references did Al Michaels make to the over and the under and in NFL games for years, and now?
Yeah, Al does. he's been great about that. Al, he's always sly about that. That was always great. Yeah. All right, now get this. Try this out, Todd. Now, we know that over the years, people have talked about should Penn State and Pitt be playing all the time and so forth, right? Okay. That's fine. And I understand that. That's always an interesting argument to make and so forth, right? And North Carolina, this passed through a committee, which now is going to go to the full General Assembly in North Carolina. That North Carolina wants to mandate that North Carolina and North Carolina State play each other every year. Okay? Which is fine in football, men's and women's basketball. But they also want to mandate that they play Charlotte, Appalachian State, and East Carolina home and away every year at some point. They play them rotating through that, do home and aways over a six-year period. Really?
In football as well?
Football, yep. Oh. So in other words, you'd play one game. In other words, it had to be on the schedule every year. I mean, I'm not talking about, you know, so in other words, one year you're at Appalachian State, next year you're home at East Carolina, next year you're at Charlotte, then you flip it as to who you play, who, what, where, and why.
I mean, that's not going to do wonders for their revenue because, you know, you're probably going to need a decent non-league game to fill your stadium. I don't know how much those teams are going to fill North Carolina's stadium when they come to North Carolina.
Well, these guys don't care about that. Now, part of it, you know, it mandates that North Carolina and NC State play each other all the time. Okay. That is to protect against the possibility that the ACC breaks up. Okay. So I understand that part of it. But North Carolina just came off a 2-for-1 against Appalachian State, in which they went 2-1. And Mack Brown was adamant after the last one. He's like, I don't want to play these guys again because every game was a great game. Wasn't one of them like 65-62 or 64-61 or some crazy number, right? And like, you got to be kidding me. They want to mandate that. Ay, ay, ay.
It's kind of like when the boxer fights the real good unknown. You don't. North Carolina is not going to get much out of this if they win or lose, and those right. other schools get everything out of it if they win, and they're right. supposed to lose.
Exactly. Now, and let's face it. Let's talk revenue here for a second. You play a game. I've seen Ficklin Stadium, because I did basketball down there once at East Carolina. So I've seen it. And it's nice, but it's like, you know, it's not a big stadium. I only know about Appalachian State because Penn State played them. So I read up on, like, Boone, you know, what it's like in Boone and so forth. And I think the stadium's like 25 to 30,000. They're not going to get any revenue out of this. I mean, they'll get something out of it. I mean, these are the guaranteed games you buy. Like, okay.
It is interesting because I had read, this is probably going back a couple months, that they were thinking if the ACC broke up that they were going to make it. If you took North Carolina, you had to take NC State wherever North Carolina ended up. So maybe that does help break up the ACC at least a little bit if you can get North Carolina without North Carolina State.
Right, because this mandates that they would play each other no matter what. Okay? And that's, okay. That tells me what you just said. That, you know what, maybe they can go their separate ways. But the mandating of having to play over a six-year span East Carolina home and away, Appalachian State home and away, and Charlotte home and away. Now, they're fortunate in that they do have eight conference games in the ACC. So they have more scheduling flexibility. If they're in the Big Ten or the Big 12, that'd be a problem. Because with nine conference games, you don't have the flexibility to do this. Now, this was in a committee. And it'll go to the full General Assembly, but it'll pass. I just don't like the idea of legislature getting involved in scheduling.
I'm guessing there's some East Carolina, Appalachian State grads on that, NC State grads on that,
Sure.
On that committee.
I'm sure, but they were. But if you're going by percentage within the state, Todd, wouldn't you have a greater percentage of North Carolina and NC State grads on there?
You know, I probably, but we'll see how. It didn't get all the way out yet. But it sounds like somebody from one of those schools was like, "We have to make sure we get these games. How are we going to do it?"
Yeah. And again, when Appalachian State played North Carolina in a 2-for-1, Appalachian State won a game. Okay? Won a game. And the games were great. Not good. They were great. And so, yeah, would it be... Could it potentially be interesting on a year-in and year-out basis? And Appalachian State, as we all know, we saw them come here to Penn State, and Penn State had to finally beat them in overtime, right, to get it done. But, jeez, I sit there and I look at that, and I'm like, oh. I'm not so sure I want the state legislature involved in scheduling. Because isn't the goal in the end to get yourself to the college football playoff? And are you hindering strength of schedule by doing this?
Well, this also ends the first time North Carolina probably doesn't get in because they lost to Appalachian State or East Carolina, too.
Right, right. I understand that. But just say, like, they win the game.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah, but I'm talking, like, but remember, they have to play Charlotte home in a way.
Yeah.
At some point. So say it happens to be the year they're playing Charlotte, right? And it's one of their four non-conference games. Does a game like that in a 14-team playoff, which at that point it probably will be at minimum, right? Does that take away your strength of schedule, and does it hurt you in the end?
Well, let's be honest, they're in a league that's probably only going to get one bid most of the time with the way it's set up right now. So, I mean, if they win their league, it won't. And even if they're not getting in if they don't win their league, probably.
Well, again, okay, in Penn State basketball, all right, they have been contacted. Now, they're already playing Virginia Tech, so it's not them. They have been contacted by another school about scheduling Penn State. You want to know why? Because they feel that the ACC currently is not strong enough on strength of schedule, so they need to get a Big Ten team on there to boost their schedule up, non-conference, because they're trying to get to the NCAA tournament. See, that tells you everything about where they are right now. What has happened is this. By getting into an alliance that allows Stanford, Cal, and SMU come in, you have actually lowered the strength of schedule number in the ACC in both football and basketball. You're actually, when you expand, you're supposed to be a stronger conference. when you expand. Okay? Nebraska would have done that and was doing that early on when they came in. We can debate Maryland and Rutgers all you want. But USC, Oregon, I mean, come on, you're telling me the Big Ten isn't a stronger conference now? UCLA in basketball? You know, Washington, we all know what they did last year. But you're not telling me the Big Ten's not a stronger conference in 2024 than it was in 23 with the addition of those four schools? Texas and Oklahoma, is the SEC not a stronger conference starting in 2024 than it was in 23? Of course. That's what it does. But Cal, Stanford, and SMU don't do that for the ACC.
I mean, we've talked about this a lot. I think the ACC and the Big 12 have, you know, we always talk about the Power 5 and stuff, but, you know, the Big 10 and SEC have clearly separated themselves right now, and that's going to be interesting how those schools figure out the strength of schedule to get their strength of schedules up.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And that, you know, that's a big part of this. That's a big part of this. Again, do I want to have a state legislature involved in scheduling? I've got to be able to look at what I'm doing on my schedule. What gets me to the college football playoff? What formula gets me to the NCAA basketball tournament? I mean, what gets me there? That's what I need to know. What gets me there? Right. And that's the part that, you know, that comes into play. You don't want to be sitting there. Your goal has to be to get to the college football playoff and to the NCAA basketball tournament. Look, I know, you know, I'm talking money here now. Okay? There are only two that get you there. The college football playoff and the men's basketball tournament. Wrestling does not get you there. Yeah, I already told you today, you know what the NCAA wrestling cut is for Penn State in last year's budget. It was $49,000. That barely buys singlets. Okay? The NCAA women's basketball tournament, again, it's one of the great, you know, look, they've increased it to $65 million out of the $115 million. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay, great. The ratings were awesome. Great, great, great. It still lost money. Okay? You're not getting, okay? You still, the NCAA lost money on the women's tournament last year. Lost it. Okay? In all capital letters, lost money. Now, no, okay, everybody's in fear of saying that. You never hear anybody write about it. You never hear anybody talk about it. There's some fear about whatever, about just saying, hey, look, they lost money. In fact, I'll be honest with you. I know somebody that works there. And they've quietly told me in no uncertain terms they lost more money than most of the other ones combined. I mean, why do you think they only have two regionals? Have you ever asked these questions? Why are there only two regionals in women's basketball? They're trying to save money. And I know the ratings are great. I got it. The ratings were awesome this year. Best ever. And it's celebrated. We all celebrate. I celebrate it. I think it's awesome. Believe me, I started announcing women's basketball in 1980. Okay? I know one person says they were the voice of the Lady Lions for decades and decades. He was, except it was like the first 6 years, I actually was the guy doing it. You know, I have long roots when it comes to women's basketball. Long roots. But facts are facts.
I was going to say, they were allowed to cross half court then, right?
Yes, they were allowed. actually, you know what they didn't have? They didn't have backcourt violation.
Oh, forever.
30-second shot clock, but if the ball went in the backcourt, it was no big deal. They just kept playing. No backcourt violation.
I was thinking there was no 10-second violation for a long time in the women's game either.
And no 10-second violation either. Yep. Yet 30 seconds. Okay. Not unreasonable. Oh, well. That's... So you need the men, you need to get to the men's basketball tournament, earn your conference as many units as possible, because it benefits everybody in the conference. Same thing with the college football playoff. Got to get there. Got to get there. All right, this half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers. Name, image, and likeness opportunities for businesses, athletes. Hey, start your journey today at NILGameChangers.org here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers as your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour of the show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. All your insurance needs, and you have multiple insurance needs. They handle them all and do everything they can to save you money. And don't forget about the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament taking place August 7th, Susquehanna Valley Country Club to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. Great to be joined as always. Any chance I get a chance to talk to Donnie Collins, I relish it. Donnie, welcome back.
How are you doing, Steve? It's been a while.
It's been too long, my friend. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
No problem. You coming up here tomorrow? We got a big event coming up with Happy Valley United.
They do, and I was going to ask you about that, and no, I will not. I did the Philadelphia event, but I'm emceeing the Special Olympics opening ceremonies tomorrow night. So,
that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
So it's the state of Pennsylvania, Special Olympics. So I've got that coming up. So I think they gave me a pass on this one because of it.
we'll miss you though.
So these events, and I was a part of the Philadelphia event, and Saquon Barkley was there among many others. I know what they with the $22 million everybody's going to have to come up with starting next fall, but when you talk to everybody, whether it's football and basketball in particular, Mike Rhodes and James are both going to be there. How important is NIL still in this complex financial deal they're in right now?
Well, it's important to everybody, right? I mean, there's a reason you're getting James here, an event in Pittston, Pennsylvania, West Pittston, whatever side of the river this event's on, and you know, there's a reason you're getting players to come to these events, and there's a reason Mike Rhodes is now making his second trip up to the area, I think, since he was named head coach. I think he was here for the Scranton chapter dinner last year.
Because he and I were the two speakers last year.
Correct. I knew you were there for that one. But yeah, it's important, and it's not just one of those events where, you know, the kids are coming out to promote the program and the coaches are coming out to give their spiel. They're coming out to kind of rally support because they need it. They need the fans. They need the alumni to kind of be there in a more financial way to have the kind of programs that they want to have. And I would assume going forward, this is not just going to be Mike and James coming to these events. I think you're going to see, and it hasn't been in the past up here. We've had a lot more coaches that, you know, coming through. But I think we're going to see a more regular pitch from a lot of these coaches coming through to kind of you know, bolster NIL and show the good things that are going on with the programs and the way to rally support in places like Scranton, Wilkes-Barre, Hazleton, up here in northeastern Pennsylvania, is to be there and do it yourself and kind of get the excitement going that way. It's tough to do it through email, through social media. So I think that, you know, these guys are doing the right thing coming up here, and I think it'll be a big topic of conversation, and it's always a big topic of conversation with fans because, you know, some want to do more, some, you know, still kind of trying to figure out why they should.
All right, so there are going to be a couple of issues now I want to get into with that. So let's start with the big one. It is the $630 million in addition to the $70 million that was allocated a year ago on Beaver Stadium. How do the people in your area view it, what they're going to do at Beaver Stadium, and how do you personally view it?
So I think it's two different ways, probably. I mean, maybe it's not. I don't know. The fans, I think, want to know, what do we get out of it? You know, what how does it make it better for us? And the number one way that seems to appease them, and I get, I don't know if that's the word, but I'll use it to appease the fans, is, well, you can now host a playoff game. You can't do it without a renovation. So everybody wants to host a playoff game if that's requested of them. So now they get that, and then it's, well, how does it affect the tradition of the stadium? Well, and that's always the tricky thing, because, you know, anytime you change something, it does change "quote unquote" tradition in the minds of the fans. I think when you look at it, what they're going to do, it doesn't change anything really that much on the inside going forward. I think it'll, you know, fans tend to adjust anyway. As long as it feels the same, it'll be the same to them, and I think that's going to be very important for Penn State, is to keep the feel of what a game day atmosphere is like the same. But it is going to look quite a bit different on the outside. And you know, look, it's going to be how many what are we getting out of this? Is this going to be tangibly affecting me? Is it just press areas? Is it just luxury suites? Is it just, you know, a lot of different things? And I think there's going to be enough for fans. For me, as a reporter, somebody who's gone to games there forever, so, you know, somebody went to school there, it's a lot of money. It is, but I think you need some of the stuff. I think you need to update the facility every once in a while. And Beaver Stadium, I think of all the facilities I've covered games in, of all the facilities I go to games in regularly, that's the easily the one that's been updated the least. And that's even with the addition of upper deck since I've been in there, and or since I started going there, and luxury areas on the, what is it, the east side of the stadium that are really nice, and the media room on the south end, and the recruiting room. So it's a lot of things fans don't see that I think they're going to want to know, you know, what are we getting out of this?
Right. Exactly. And to build new probably would have been $1.5 to $1.8
billion. Yeah. Billion, it's a money saver to just redo it, and you know that's kind of easy to say. It's kind of hard to convince people it's a money saver when you're spending $690 million. But It is. It just is. And they're going to do it. They're going to do the right thing here. They're going to make it a more, useful venue year round. They're going to have. Yes. They're going to be able to have the conferences there, and you know, people are going to be able to use it for things that aren't just football games. And that's what anybody doing renovations now is really doing in stadiums. But it's just going to cost a lot of money, and that's partly because of the size of the facility, and also partly because a lot of this stuff hasn't been touched.
Well, the back, it's the, a lot. I mean, there's a chunk of this that's the back maintenance. There's 100 to 150 million on it that's back maintenance that has to be taken care of. But this is going to be not, you know, we know about the west side. The other three quarters of the stadium will probably look pretty much the same, except for wider concourses. I'm talking about triple width, wider entrances, the lighting in the stadium. I mean, that's going to be that's something that fans are going to notice. Hey, wow, the lighting's even better. I mean, these are all things that they feel they have to do. The spectacular part's going to be the west side, as we all know, including the Donnie Collins press box.
The memorial press box, yeah.
No,
I like the press box.
I did not say memorial, my friend. I did not.
Oh, I know. I know you did not. but I will defend the press box. If they could spend $670 million and keep the press box the way it is, exactly, I'd be okay with it. I honestly would. I really like the press box. I love the view, and that's the most important thing for me working the game. I don't need 10 bathrooms.
You know what? I'm glad you said that. People have always asked me about that, and I said, look, as long as I'm in a good spot to broadcast the game, I really don't care. I don't care where it's been. The old Northwestern press box, which you remember how bad that was. I'm talking about the old one.
It was awful, but good view.
It was brutal. But you're at the 45-yard line. It's not that bad.
Nobody has a better seat than I do. Nobody sees the field the way I do. I'm at like the 47. I think I'm actually right above you. So So it's such a tremendous view. It's very easy to do your work there. It's better than Ohio State, where you're kind of down at the 10. Other places, you know, you're kind of in the corner. Auburn, we were in the end zone, and that's not a great view to me.
Well, that's where I was in the corner. Like, you guys were in the end zone. I was at the corner of the end zone. Great spot.
Yeah, years ago I used to do Syracuse basketball. It was kind of my first job. So back before they had won the national championship season, which was 2002-03, started the season there with seats right across from the bench on the floor. And like, oh, you can't get a better seat than this. And the next year you're behind the baseline about 10 yards and up on a rafter near the band. It went from the best seat to the worst seat. So I put a premium on the view.
Yeah, I do too. Well, Minnesota basketball, Williams Arena, they had us at mid-quarter just to the right of the mid-court line. First row, upper deck. Fabulous. Then they moved us to the corner of the building. Now, the Minnesota guys still had the same spot at midcourt, but they moved us to the corner of the building. And every time Dick Girardi and I walk in, we look over at where we used to be, and those seats are empty every single time. Great plan. Great plan. All right, so now let's take it to the next part. NCAA committee is meeting tomorrow, and in all likelihood, they're going to say, yes, you can do logos, field sponsorship logos on the field, and yes, sponsorship logos on jerseys, as you will see with the NBA Finals coming up, with Chime and Vistaprint getting a lot of airtime for Dallas and Boston, respectively. What's your thought on going that route?
What I prefer as a sports fan and somebody who loves the tradition of it, that they didn't do that, yes. But I don't know how you could sit and complain about the cost of doing this stuff and then prevent anybody from making money off of the product and deferring some of that cost. I mean, it's probably not all of it going to go to that, or any of it maybe, I don't know, but you have to be able to make money somehow. And like I will be honest, I barely notice. I know the Celtics do this to print, and I because I just watch a lot of their games, and the Yankees have a patch now on their sleeve for an insurance company, and it looks horrible, but I can ignore it. The naming rights thing, I think that might be, if they ever do a naming rights deal, I think that might be big that might be a big bone of contention with fans. That I would wonder, you know, when you're naming the stadium something else, and I think that it always comes down to that, you know, when they do something like that. But to be able to do, you know, the logos on the field, on the uniforms, I think when you're in the seats, and I could be wrong, I think that's kind of the last thing you notice. Mm. You wouldn't notice if it wasn't there. Not that you wouldn't notice it, but you'd kind of get over it pretty quickly. So I think that's just going to be another way to make money, and I don't love it. I won't like the look of it, but do athletic departments need money to fund programs these days? Yes. Do you need it to pay the players? Absolutely. So yeah. I think it's a good thing probably for the departments and ultimately the players, but I does it lead to some things that maybe I personally don't like? Yes. But yeah, I think a fan in this debate is going to take a lot more offense to that than I am.
For one thing, the fan in the stand won't even know on the jerseys won't even notice it. Right?
Yeah.
But on TV, which is why you do it, NBA teams are getting upwards of $15 million a year for that. Well, yeah. $15 million, I mean, college football is the second most popular sport in the country behind the NFL. Mm-hmm. Boy, $15 million would go a long way to making a dent in the, I mean, Penn State's going to have to be one of the schools that pays $22 million for athletes per year. That'd go a long way toward that, so I can understand why you'd think about it.
Yeah, and everybody's going to think about it. All the professional teams that can do it. And look, I can attest to this. You could sit in the TD Garden and not notice it. But yeah, when you go to the team store to buy a Jason Tatum jersey, there's VistaPrint. So
right. That's right,
and that's exactly what VistaPrint wants. The guy in the nosebleed seats isn't going to see it, and they know that. But they want you to buy as part of that jersey. You're buying the logo, and it's crazy because I noticed a couple of months ago I went to a Yankees game, and they had a deal at the time where they were for $125 you can get the Yankees uniform with the insurance company patch on the arm, and people are buying it, because that's the authentic jersey now. You could still buy it without the patch, but people wanted it because that's what the players are wearing. So I think actually $15 million is a little light for the kind of advertising they're getting.
Well, I think college football can get more for that. They can
100%.
Get more than that, right? And yeah. Because an NBA regular season game, really?
Yeah.
Come on. So I agree that that's a little late. Because your investment would not just be on football. Your investment would be in the other sports too, which includes basketball, wrestling. I don't know if Kale would have to wear a jacket that had it on there or not. I don't know.
That might take some convincing there. But you're right.
Yeah, exactly.
I saw in Dick's, I saw a baseball jersey, a Penn State baseball jersey, and this is before they went to the Big Ten championship game. So yeah, any kind of a logo would look real nice on that jersey. So yeah. and they're selling them at Dick's. You could just, hey, it's part of the deal, and that's any sport.
Because look, it's a different era. The House versus the NCAA case. Well, it all started with Alston, the Alston case, but now we're up to House, and guess what? I mean, why is the EA Sports game coming back this summer? Because they settled the O'Bannon case. So the NCAA... Right. So now they're allowed to do it, and they figured out a way to get at least some pocket change into the hands of the players. I think it's $600, plus they get the game. And I think if you ask the players, the game is more valuable to them.
Yeah. The game's almost $100.
Yeah. That's right. Now, Donnie, things you and I thought you and I never thought we'd be talking about.
Yeah, never. Honestly, never would have thought that this would happen. But here it is. We're living it.
Yeah, we're living it. At some point,
is Dom DeLuca selling pasta sauce?
I'd buy that.
Oh yeah. If he says it's good, I'm with him.
If Dominic DeLuca tells me it's good, it's good. Well, yeah. At some point, for a couple of laughs, we should talk about games. We'll do that at a later date.
That'd be fun too.
Donnie, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
All right, Steve, we'll see you.
Donnie Collins, Scranton Times Tribune, always does outstanding work. Just for a couple laughs, Todd, we're going to talk about games.
Soon. Soon.
Ay, ay, ay. And the bottom line is I can talk about games. I've already done, I'm finished with all the pre-prep on everybody. So, I mean, I've gone through it. I mean, I know of the teams Penn State's playing. I know who they have. But as of this hour, that's not the dominant story. So, we'll get there.
It's June. It's coming.
Yeah. All right. We'll come back with more in a moment. Great to have you with us today. This half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.
Yeah. Great to have Donnie on the show. Mike DeCourcy coming up. Yes, and tuning in will be Suit the Greek on Friday. Try and get the feel for the Belmont Stakes, which for the next 2 years, because of the reconstruction at Belmont Park, is at Saratoga. And there's been a demand, an absolute demand of people who want to go up there to see it because Saratoga is so legendary. Saratoga is a beautiful, beautiful area. And they don't have as many seats as Belmont Park. Belmont Park, for a racetrack, has more seats, I think, than any racetrack I can think of. And Saratoga doesn't have that kind of seating.
That's the Albany area, right?
Yes, just north. It's north of Albany. Yep. It's beautiful up there.
You can never go wrong with the Lake Region up there.
No, really, it's beautiful up there. And again, because of the location, the history of it, a lot of people want to go, but they don't have the seating to accommodate everybody. Interesting problem to have these days.
Just means you make more money.
Money? What's that?